Blog Talk Radio.
Still feeling the pain from exiting the womb of ignorance into a world designed to kill me at birth. I am protected. The Elder Council consisting of Grand Gran and Baba, Doc Jones and Mama Ya, Lucky, Stormy, and then Antoinette and Geraldine, Doc Stovall, Sister Parsi, and Brother DeBrille send forth the energy to make us feel our work is not in vain. Glory be unto their name, for they train us to adhere to the teachings of Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey,
BrothersKeeper.com. As usual, we always want to send a special shout out, a special thank you to Sister Jackie over there at MasterGrio.com for allowing us the opportunity as well as the responsibility and the privilege of listening, talking, and learning with the people all at the same time. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Real Talk with Brothers Keeper. www.blogtalkradio.com/NBBTA. Real Talk with Brothers Keeper, where we always will attempt to bring you real issues that affect us, really affect us on a real life basis. You dig what I'm saying? Everything here is real. Nothing is opinionated. It's all factual. You may not like us saying it, but you cannot argue with the truth. The truth is what it is. The truth stands for the truth. This evening we have a topic we want to speak about, some of us may have heard about it. It's called the King Alfred Plan, or some of us know it as Rex 84. Now, there are certain people who will always call those of us who study, they will call us conspiracy theorists. But Sister Cynthia McKinney, if you all remember some years ago, she was on C-SPAN and she was reading the King Alfred Plan. On C-SPAN, the sister read this, and they tried to label her as a conspiracy theorist. However, these exercises continue to go on, and that's why, you know, her career as far as politics have gone the way that it is, because that sister really is the people's politician, and I will gladly call her a politician and not a politrician, as our other brothers and sisters who seem to be deceived by that illusion of inclusion. So that there's a special shout out to Sister Cynthia McKinney and Rosa Clemente as they do their thing. And like I said, we'll be talking about the King Alfred Plan on this evening and, you know, ways that it will and can affect us and what we need to do in order to counter that and get ready. And, you know, not only getting ready for the King Alfred Plan itself, but getting ready for survival. As we already see, the economy is going very, very sour. And we all know when white folks start losing their houses, something ain't right, you know, on a mass level. We're used to foreclosures and being put out of our homes, you know. We're used to those type of things. Now, you know, white proletarians are now, you know, catching just a glimpse, a very small glimpse of what we have been experiencing in the hills of North America for a very long time. And still, I cannot feel pity for them, because whatever they get, they deserve it and more when it comes to bad. We have to realize that the definition of justice is the reward for good and the punishment for evil. So whatever comes upon our oppressor comes upon our oppressor, and they deserve it and more tenfold for all the evil that they have done all over the world. Yes, you heard me say it correctly. The white man is the root of all evil, and I will repeat that again. I have no fear, no repercussions of telling the truth whatsoever. The Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey tells us that the revolutionary cannot be concerned with certain consequences. The devil is evil. The devil does not have horns. The devil roams the earth with us. He is the white man. The white man is not a devil. He is the devil and the root of all evil. And we will be talking about that evil on this evening. We will be discussing the King Alfred Plan. So what we're going to do now, we're going to play a quick tune, and we'll be right back with you. Thank you for tuning in to Real Talk with Brothers Keeper, and we will be right back. Check this out.
You be my black and I'll be your green, and we'll bleed the blood of our ancestors loving us. Together we'll bring Africa to America. We'll sow forgiveness and reap the gold that was once stolen. We'll build black and buy black and border black and be black. We'll get green and grow green and gobble green and gain green. We'll rinse red and rhyme red and reflect red and finish red. If you be my black and I'll be your green, and we'll bleed the blood of our ancestors love, and we'll be free and fight for them, cause they need a leader and it be we. And you be the sun and I'll be the moon, and you are one and I am two, and we'll drop your jewels on these ignorant fools and teach them knowledge and wisdom to understand the freedom is justice, to have equality and eat food with clothes on in a sheltered home, and lend love, portray peace, and harbor happiness. And yo, yo, you be my black and I'll be your green, and we'll bleed the blood of our ancestors love, and we'll roll my bodies with Ethiopian tea and plan a revolution every day of the week. We'll meditate on Monday, taught technique on Tuesday, rights war on Wednesday, sally troops on Thursday, follow through on Friday, strategize on Saturday, see plan on Sunday. And yo, and yo, I love you more than Rita Love Roberts, Lauren Love Wyclef, Betty Love Malcolm X. You be my black and I'll be your green, and we'll bleed the blood of our ancestors loving. To unify our union, I'll lace your wrist with leather, you'll dress my neck in pearls. I'll bet you baby boys and then to baby girls, we'll christen them with myrrh. If yo, 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 you be my black and I'll be your green, and we'll bleed the blood of our ancestors loving. I love you more than I love you more than I love you more than yo, yo. You be my black and I'll be your green, and we'll bleed the blood of our ancestors loving.
Talking about that red, black, and the green, that was none other than Sister Queen. You're listening to Real Talk with Brothers Keeper, as we will be discussing the King Alfred Plan. And we have a very, very, very special guest Joining us on this evening, we will be talking to none other than the RBG Street Scholar. This brother is a scholar, no doubt. I mean, he's all over the internet with good, vital information. I mean, everything from the Morris Society to the King Alfred Plan. I mean, this brother lays it out in plain red, black, and green colors, you know. And we always need information to be dispersed. And if anyone is deaf, dumb, and blind right now, they are deaf, dumb, and blind on a voluntary basis because we live in a technology period. So there's almost nothing that cannot be found out right now, at least when it comes to learning our history about who we are and whose we are. We want to thank you all again for tuning in to Real Talk with Brothers Keeper. And right now we're going to bring the RBG Scholar on the line with us. Are you there, sir? Hello, sir. Are you there? Good evening. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm talking. Can you hear me?
Hey, yes, sir. I sure do. How are you?
Hey, Brother Jamalo. How you doing?
Wonderful. Doing just fine. Really want to thank you for joining us this evening on Real Talk with Brothers Keeper. How you doing?
I'm blessed. Actually, this is my first time calling into a blog talk radio station, and I was one of the pioneers or one of the first black folk channels over there, but I've never called in, so I was going through a few things trying to figure out what it is that I was supposed to be doing, calling it with my phone, or I also tried to connect to this conversation that you use your headphones. So in any case, I have you, I'm here, and I heard the introduction to the show when you were talking about the King Alpha Plan, and you know, that whole thing started out as supposed to be, and even today if you go to Wikipedia, they'll tell you that it is a fictional novel that was written that has to do with the life of Richard Wright. But if you look at it closely, and all things, actually, you have to ask yourself whether or not reality mimics fiction or fiction mimics reality in America, because it seems to me that the relationship that the people that do these types of fictional novels have with the government in maintaining and upholding the system is one and the same. So whether or not there was a fictional novel written about it or not has nothing to do with the reality of his existence in our life experience. I mean, ever since we came over here on the slave ships, there has been an organized effort to kill us as African people. And as time has went on in this country, most particularly post-Emancipation Proclamation, when we weren't actually needed as much to continue to build the country in the form of chattel, they had to control us and kill us. That's why people fled from the South to the North, because of the post-emancipation lynch mobs and white mob violence. So the idea of the National Security Council and the CIA and the FBI and the Department of Justice and the Department of the Defense and the Department of Interior getting together to organize a plan to kill us, to make sure that we are maintained under control, a person would have to be out of their mind not to believe that that is in fact what is happening. Our challenge is to get the message to more of the masses of our people, because the masses of our people, us as the vanguard and in the know, because we read, we research, we study, we are students of history, but the masses of our people are the ones that are kept unconscious by the media propaganda that their minds is being bombarded with on a daily basis in this traditional media. I'm talking about the newspapers, the magazines, the music, the bags that you take out of the store that have the grocery bags that you take out of the store, the images that are on them are constantly bombarding our minds with something that is beside the point of what's happening to us, and that is that they really do want to kill us.
That's right. And for anyone to question, you know, the validity of a plan, you know, even if, let's say it's not even called the King Alfred Plan or Rex 84, but when you check the diabolical terrorist activity of the United Snakes of America, what they have done, what they plan to do, and what they are doing, I don't see how anything like this could even appear to be far-fetched.
Yeah, a lot of, most of our people, I think that, and let's, in talking about, if I may, this whole idea of the King Alfred Plan as a specific plan in a more general scheme of things, look at it this way. Of all the disciplines of study, history is best qualified to reward all research, is what Malcolm and many before our ancestors taught before Malcolm. So that in order to validate what is going on with this King Alfred Plan, all you have to do is be a student of history and look back at some of the things that have happened just over the past 45 years.
Yeah.
And you will be, you know, I, in RBG Street Scholars Think Tank, have a lot of the work of Dr. Neely Fuller. We have, I mean, the core is presenting our scholars. But one of the things that Dr. Neely Fuller is very good for is breaking down into apples and oranges what it is that the goals and the objectives of white supremacy is.
That's right.
And one of the things that he says is that the problem with the elimination of African people in America is that the very reason for white supremacy is the whole idea of practicing white supremacy itself. So that if we were completely eliminated, then we would take away the motivation of the white supremacists. So that I don't think that it is as much as they want to kill all of us off as they want to kill enough of us off, and those of us who may rebel or stimulate the people to rebel against our oppression,
right,
in a way that they can continue to control us, because we are and have been their gold mine ever since we were brought here against our will.
There is no, there's nothing at all, there's no industry that can compete with free labor.
That's I mean, we built it,
right.
And so I had a copy, and I read a copy of the memo where of the King Alfred Plan, where each one of the divisions at the federal agency level that I mentioned had their secretaries send in a copy of their position on and role in the overall plan. And what I'll do is make sure that I go ahead and put that up on the various websites that we have with RBG Street Scholars Think Tank. And I haven't seen it spread as much besides where I am over in Asada's form as we should really have it online for people, if nothing else, to coincidentally run into it. So I think that it's time for us to try to go ahead and bombard the search engines and browsers with the document some more, so you can look at it and read it and compare it to what you see and to compare it to history.
That's right.
It's a larger counterinsurgency program. I mean, it's a part of the Patriot Act. It's all the same story. Whether it's the Voters' Right Act or whether it goes all the way back to the Supreme Court decision of 1984, there's nothing that we have achieved in America in terms of civil and human rights, and civil rights in terms of that which is written on the book and legislation that has been implemented, that we hadn't had to fight and die and struggle and be beaten for. There's not one thing that we were given. So that this whole idea today of, as you had mentioned earlier, Europeans, I think that one of the main relationships that we must see in our position here in the United States, the United States can be bought out is if you really, we as African people, study this whole event that took place on 9/11 in 2001. Because if white folk is killing white folk, then that should tell you something about us.
Exactly.
You hear me?
Exactly. I mean, if they kill their own kind, I remember watching Khalil Muhammad when he did the dissertation on the secret relationship between blacks and Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying how he went to the Holocaust Museum and, you know, he said, you know, as an African, you know, as we are spiritual by people and we're, you know, righteous by nature. So when, of course, you know, when he saw what the Germans did to the so-called Jews, you know, he was like, oh, man, you know, this is horrible. But, you know, I mean, you have to look at it, you know. Like you said, if white folks is killing white folks, what you think they'll do to us?
That's right. More and more of our people are becoming aware of the relationship between history and the present and seeing now what it was that was done to us and can look at what is being done to us now, because police brutality is nothing more than lynching called by any other name. It's
That's
the
right.
same thing. So that this revolution that we have going on with the advent of the internet and community journalism and public broadcasting, these things have opened so many of our people's eyes. I see that as a very important phase of this whole revolution for the re-Africanization of our minds, but at the same time, we find ourselves in a situation like Jonathan Jackson told his brother that George Jackson wrote in his book Blood in My Eyes, that the whole phase and the process for education is over. We got to make some moves. And I'm saying we have to make some moves not because we can't wait any longer because they might let up, because they destroying the country and pulling the rug from out from under their own self.
Yeah.
You know, you hear what I'm saying?
Exactly, exactly. You know, that's what we were speaking of earlier. You know, I mean, anytime, you know, crackers are losing their houses and worried about gas prices and stuff, you know, I see the word recession. You know, I always say that black folk on the mass level that we're in a state of recession or depression. Depression for the most of us, recession for the ones who us who think we're doing good.
Hey, when they got a recession, we in a depression. You know,
yeah.
When America sneezes, black people convulse.
Exactly.
But you know, you can do two things with all of the information that we are being exposed to now. It's a double-edged sword. Is this gonna put people more? African people, when I'm talking, is what I'm talking about, it more in fear of the system and make them more so capitulate? Or is it going and maintain that master-slave dialectic? Or are we going to do like Harriet Tubman said? See, in that master-slave dialectic, the master says, I'll be the master, or I'll kill you. And the slave says, I'll be a slave because I don't want to die. But Harriet Tubman say, before I be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave. So she broke the dialectic.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know whether or not our becoming more aware of things makes us braver or makes us more afraid.
Mm.
You know, because two things that we do very well as African people have always historically, and that's talk and dress.
Yeah.
But, you know, outside of that, you know, that is with the movers and shakers, I don't see really anything happening. I mean, the people that are doing the work like you, community folk, you know, the people that need to hear about them don't hear about them. And so it's a double-edged sword, brother. I don't know what you feel about that or what your experience has been with it, but... And then there are those of us who don't want to know. We're not even going to look that way and in that direction. And you know as well as I know, the man who butters your bread feeds your stomach. As all this more information comes out and the truth comes, many of us have to escrow that which we really do know as a result of who's buttering our bread.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and the challenge is with those of us that do know is everybody needs food, clothing, shelter, and energy so that we don't, we still have to push forward this whole idea, and I see it happening more, of us supporting us so we can do what we do best for us. I mean, you know, revolution ain't free, you see. And so I say that if more of us that are in the fold and in the trenches that are doing work to raise the consciousness of the people can move forward to the level that we will be able to, well, not only employ ourselves, but employ our people, then the masses will take more heed to a lot of the vital information, I think, that we have available. But there's that contradiction there with the economics versus the politics that we have to always bring together. That is the challenge.
Yeah, for real. I mean, because really it's hard for someone to contain a millionaire. You know what I'm saying? You know, you're not someone who's a millionaire. I mean, you really, you're not tied down to an 8-to-5 or a 9-to-5 or whatever the case may be. And like you said, you know, some people, when we learn this information, we get more afraid. You know, and that's a whole lot of things are really run by fear, you know, really run by fear. So, you know, that way, you know, Christians use fear to get people so-called to be saved, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
And, you know, we are fearful that we're going to get fired from our jobs. That's why we break our necks through rush hour traffic to get there on time, you know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And,
that's
you
right.
know, everything is funded, you know, pretty much run by fear. Even this King Alfred plan, I think it may be a good idea to read some of this King Alfred plan, as you said earlier.
Yeah, you want me, I have here the first memo was from the National Security Council. It said, even before 1954, when the Supreme Court of the United States of America declared unconstitutional separate educational and recreational facilities, racial unrest and discord had become very nearly a part of the American way of life. But that way of life was repugnant to most Americans. Since 1954, however, the unrest and discord has broken out into widespread violence, which increasingly has placed the peace and stability of the nation in dire jeopardy. The violence has resulted in loss of life, limb, and property, and has cost taxpayers of this nation billions of dollars. And it's about a paragraph more, and the end is not yet in sight. The same violence has raised the tremendously grave question as to whether the races will ever be able to live in peace with each other.
Mm.
Each passing month has brought new intelligence that despite new laws passed, and to alleviate the conditions of minorities, the minority still is not satisfied. Okay, demonstrations and rioting have become a part of the familiar scene. Troops have been called out into city after city across the land, and our image of a world as a world leader is being severely damaged. Our enemies press closer, seeking. He actually says our enemies. You know,
yeah.
Our enemies press closer, seeking an opportunity in the face of all of this turmoil and unrest. I mean, it goes on here. The last part of it says here is that the minority has Let me see where I am here. The minority has adapted an almost military posture to gain its objectives, which are not clear to most Americans. They're saying they still don't know what, you know, black folk want. Okay, and then it goes on. I started reading this without my glasses on. It is expected, therefore, that when those objectives are denied, the minority, that race war must be considered inevitable. When that emergency comes, we must expect the total involvement of all 22 million members of the minority, man, woman, and child. For once this project is launched, its goal is to terminate once and for all the minority threat to the whole of American society and indeed to the free world. That's the chairman of the National Security Council is what that says. And that is some that's some serious stuff, because when I'm reading what I'm reading, it is actually even posed and postured and telling you, you are not an American.
Not
you see, that's what it's saying. It's saying them versus us is what it is. And that whole slave dialectic, that master-slave dialectic, goes all the way back and hasn't changed yet. And so that, yeah, we got to get this up because, and I'll do that, because there's also, like I said, memos from the Department of Justice that I have here, the Department of Defense, and all of the other agencies that are listed with information. And like you said, Cynthia McKinney had already articulated some and many of these things and in public in Congress. And so that we had to just get the message out to more of our people.
That's right. And another problem that we have, you know, when our brothers and sisters come with this information, I think sometimes, being that we are such a righteous people by nature, it's kind of hard for us to believe that someone is actually still that evil, you know. So we tend to, you know, those of us who we'll classify as apolitical, you know what I'm saying, number
right.
one, but bombarded by, like what you said, at, you know, in the beginning of the conversation, a lot of propaganda, and a lot of us are so preoccupied, you know, just with day-to-day living, we don't really have time to study and believe things like this, and they do
That's
seem
right.
unbelievable, you know, at first sound. But I mean, when you dig into the history of the Naomi Act, you know what I'm saying, the Tuskegee experiment,
mm-hmm.
you know, things of this sort, things that America has done to black people, you know what I'm saying, even with these vaccine shots that are time-release disease, you know what
yep.
I'm saying?
Yep.
And when we look into the, like we said earlier, you know, the diabolical history of the hells of North America, this idea cannot appear to be far-fetched. And I know in Millington, Tennessee, there's a naval base. And as we know, these military bases are never shut down. These are future holding camps, concentration camps for so-called
mm-hmm.
prisoners of war, whatever the case may be, when they, you know, decide to do the King Alfred plan on a mass level. And just on the brink of the hurricane that came, I know we were in New Orleans right after Hurricane FEMA happened. Everyone else called
mm-hmm.
it Hurricane Katrina. And
mm-hmm.
also, FEMA is an agency.
Yeah, that was Hurricane
field.
FEMA. I understand.
Right.
I can understand that real clear.
Yeah, very clear. You know, I
mm-hmm.
mean, they put that in our faces, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when we went down there, there was a village. Well, they called it a village. It was almost close to Baton Rouge.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a like a 25-foot barbed wire gate around these trailer homes that they put a lot of our brothers and sisters in as living quarters.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
there
yeah.
were armed guards in this trailer camp. You know, and it looked like something off of Schindler's List in the movie, you know.
Uh-huh,
but,
uh-huh.
I mean, this was
uh-huh.
real. If that wasn't a King Alfred plan exercise, I don't know what it was.
And so it's war, and
yeah.
And how we prepare at this level is that we have to get the word out to other people and more people and convince more people. And that is why I use 9/11 and this whole international banking scam and a number of other issues that are being articulated that are wrong with this country by white folk, because a lot of our people are so psychologically incarcerated. When the truth comes from another African, they want to question when they'll take something from white folk at face value. So I'm going to give it to you both ways. For those of us who are African-minded, we can go ahead and grow and continue to educate, organize, you know, and unify. And but for unconscious folk, you know, I got something. RBG has something for them too, and that's why I keep on going back and talking about studying 9/11. Them white folk then actually irrefutably documented that the United States government was directly complicit in the blowing up of the World Trade Centers and the killing of its own folk. That's very well documented by the white folk. And so, you know, our folk need to go take a look at that, that have questions in their minds about what it is that us folk, like you and I, out on the fringes, they would say, these, you know, radicals are talking about. Because, you know, this country is going down. And, you know, it's like Robert F. Williams said, you know, back in when you see a country going down, that's an ugly sight. And so the thing that is sad about it is in any kind of revolution, what winds up happening is children and women and babies wind up dying disproportionately. Europeans don't care about that. They commit genocide over in Iraq and Afghanistan and everywhere now. But, you know, for us, you know, these are very challenging times.
Exactly.
These are very, and I don't know what's gonna happen, because you know they, you know, doing preemptive strikes over, you know, on the white folk in the Twin Cities or Minnesota now, that I'm sure that you know about and you know heard about, for the Republic Nationalist National Convention. And so that, you know, the police state is cracking down, you know, on white folks, so that and they take to the street. We seem like at this point in time, we only take to the street in a reactionary kind of way. Mm-hmm. That is to say, when another one of us is murdered, you know, or when we know about another one of us being murdered, because
right.
they
when
murder us every day, you know, continually. And so, you know, and that's because we are afraid. It's fear. You know, I mean, it's the same thing: fear, dependency, and disunity. You know, I'm personally not afraid and ready to, you know, die if I have to. I want to live, but I will die for the yet to be born. But others have more at stake, and everybody can, you know, has to live in their own reality, and so we can't change people's minds that are somewhere else until we can, you know, really sit them down and have them take a serious look at what it is that's going on with their life from an African perspective.
Yeah, that is correct, you know, and like you said, you know, just to piggyback on, you know, the fear factor, you know, most of us, you know, we become armchair revolutionaries, you know, if it came on TV, you know what I'm saying, we'll be, you know, watching the game or something. You know, most of us can't dunk anymore. You know, speaking of myself, I ain't dunked in about 5 years, but every time I see, you know, LeBron or somebody flush one, you know, I'm like, yeah, you know, living those days, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, we become armchair revolutionaries. So if it were on TV, you know, opposite of what Gil Scott-Heron spoke about, you know, yeah, get the pig, you know what I'm saying, instead of being out there doing something, because we have been trained to trying to maintain what little that we do have.
But that's the post 60s erosion, the way that, you know, the white folk regained, and that the counterintelligence program came down on our people, it resulted in a retrogression during the mid and late 1970s into the 80s, after they brought the cocaine in and perverted the power of hip-hop with that industry stuff. And that pushed our people and dumbed our young people down so much that the information that they need now to really catch up, to see and understand what is happening and has happened to them, is going to take some time. And that's the reason why I was one of the ones that was responsible, myself and four other brothers, starting making available 5 years ago this whole idea of conscious videos on YouTube. We started that. And now today, you know, you can go to YouTube And there are millions of videos and information to raise our conscience, because they had got caught and stuck on video stupid. Our young people don't read. This TV is a drug that is worse than crack cocaine, so that they have them under a mind control with that, that resulted in them being dumbed down so much that now that YouTube is being bombarded and, you know, being conscious and dropping knowledge is, quote unquote, the end thing now. And I think that that's a good thing for our young people. But there are three C's. There's consciousness, commitment, and conduct. So that for the, all of the armchair, as you call it, you know, revolutionaries and any, in any you know, revolutionary vanguard or in any group of people moving together to bring about change, they're going to be different people at different levels. You talk about the Irish Republican Army and how they got people from throwing Molotov cocktails in the street all the way to people in Parliament. So, you know, everybody has a place and something to contribute. When you know more, you can do more. So what I'm trying to do is to get young people to be able to just begin to start reading more, because whatever is going to happen to us, it's going to happen to us as a people. And so the challenge is us fighting against this individualism, materialism, and consumerism, and jealousy, and envy, and haterism that has been infused into their minds by this popular media. And that's a hard fight. That's a war. That's a war. So we have elders and ancestors that have communicated the things that are happening now historically, like I just put up Dr. Bobby Wright, and they have an opportunity to study his black social theory and the whole idea of menicide. You mentioned Marcus Garvey and the work that Marcus Garvey did with the Universal Negro Improvement Association in building industry and commerce and a worldwide organization. These are the people that we have to study and draw lessons from, because if white supremacy ended tomorrow, if we just concern ourselves with the problem and the studying of oppression, that would leave us in a vacuum. We have to be and began to, you know, teach our people. When I was young, and I'm a medical doctor, I think that Jakuma mentioned to you, and that, yes, you know, I went to medical school as far as my training is concerned, but the education that, you know, I'm doing now is something that I never received in going all the way up through medical school and getting an MD degree. So the resources that I'm providing in RBG Street Scholars Think Tank are not only me serving as a teacher or a professor, but also as someone who is learning and really getting an education. And so we have to, you know, work with them now to tell them, rather than like my parents wanted me to be a doctor or a lawyer, that our folk had to learn how to be self-reliant.
Right.
Because we don't know where this country is going to go. And right now, this country takes care of us. White folk take care of black folk. Black folk don't take care of themselves. At some level, we talk like we take care of ourselves. But, you know, if they decide to pull the plug on the job tomorrow, then you don't take care of yourself no more.
That's right. We still are.
So it's a false sense of security that's going on here with us, too, that is also responsible for killing us on a number of different levels. And not to mention the least of which is from a cultural or an African perspective. Our people do not know that there is an African way from A to Z to do everything that we depend upon white folk for. Because they have kept that, not only did they colonize us as a people, they colonized the information too. And that information is becoming more and more available by programs like the one that you are providing right here, right now. And the beautiful work that you and Ed do, I mean, I'm just so impressed with the work that you guys do. And there are many that are throughout our cities, throughout the United States where we dwell, that are doing the same kind of work. And I see my job as being able to expose and get y'all out and let the people see what's really happening with the skills that, you know, I have with RBG Street Scholars Think Tank.
Yes, indeed. We really thank you for those kind words. And, you know, we just have to really learn to connect these dots so we can get free on a collective basis. And speaking of that, a whole lot of us, as we mentioned earlier, have been deceived by this illusion of inclusion.
Right.
And as far as the King Afro plan reads, you know, ain't there African safe.
They ain't there safe.
You know,
and that was something that if you study counterintelligence program, you can see that that was written back then in, you know, the 1960s, and they just been developing it ever since.
Oh yeah,
they just been developing it and concretizing and solidifying it.
Oh yeah, you know,
that's what that has been.
They're good. Well, I want to read this here very quickly, just so you know. We like to give the people the facts, and like you said, you can put King Alfred Plan in Google. You know, actually, we can go on some of your websites and be able to read it, because you said you're going to post some of it over. But you can go on the Sada Shakur, Brother Jakumba site. TheTalkingDrum.com, and I mean, just full of information. And you yourself have the RBG Street Scholar University. And I want to read this here. This is directly from the King Alfred Plan document.
Okay.
There are 12 major minority organizations, and all are familiar to the 22 million, meaning black people. Those have been compiled on the leaders of the organizations and can be studied in Washington. The material contained in many of the dojos and our threat to reveal that material have considerably held in check some of the leaders. Leaders
they
who
done
do
sold
not,
out. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That means what?
They done sold out.
They done sold out.
They done
That's
bought
right.
them. They done co-opted
right.
them.
Leaders who do not have such usable material in their dojos have been approached to take government posts, mostly as ambassadors and primarily in African countries. What does Jesse Jackson do?
Same old game.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? If we ain't got nothing on them, we're going to go ahead and buy them out.
Mm-hmm.
You see? That's what that one's saying.
That's right. The promise of these positions also has materially contributed to the temporary slowdown of minority activities.
Some of them done sold out. In other words, we didn't caught some of them, so that's why it ain't moving as fast. You see what I'm saying? But we're still looking for some more to buy.
That's right. Hold on. Don't revolt just yet. We're going to wait for Jesus to help us and bring us out of it.
That's right.
Reverend Porkchop.
Yeah.
However, we do not expect these slowdowns to be of long duration because there are always new elements joining these organizations, mainly the youth.
Right.
With the potential power to replace the old leaders.
Right.
All organizations and leaders are under constant 24-hour surveillance. The organizations are, of course, the Black Muslims, Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC, Congress of Racial Equality, CORE, Uhuru Movement, Group on Advanced Leadership, Freedom Now Party, United Black Nationalists of America, the New Pan-African Movement, Southern Christian Leadership Conference, SCLC, the National Urban League, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, the NAACP, Committee on Racial and Religious Progress. Now
that's why I said they developed this all the way back in the 1960s. You remember how Malcolm used to say, he say, you know, before the Black Muslim movement came along, the NAACP was looked upon as radical. And then, you know, we studied some of the NAACP branches, certainly, you know, in the 1950s in, you know, Lowndes County, you know, North Carolina, where Robert Williams was. We had a radical branch, but they all was against, you know, him, and that's why he went on to the Republic of New Africa. But, you know, when they mentioned in the National Urban League and SCLC here and the NAACP, you know, you can get an idea of, you know, how old, you know, those programs have been completely infiltrated and co-opted by, you know, black white folk now, so that, you know, I wouldn't suspect at all to think they are the threat that they may have historically been.
That's
because
right.
those organizations are them these days.
That's right. And even then, you know, I mean, and even now, like you said, you know, they don't do anything in the real name of the people. As a matter of fact, I got a call a couple of years ago from the president of the NAACP chapter of Memphis. And she called and was like, we want y'all to perform at a fundraiser for us. And I was like, well, do you know who you have called, sister? you know, this is Brother's Keeper. And she said, yeah, we went on your website. We like the work that you all are doing. And I said, well, okay, you know, we have no problem for that. She said, how much do y'all charge? I said, well, I tell you what, you give us a $500 donation, you know, so we can continue to feed the homeless and, you know, do what we do.
Wow.
And we'll gladly perform for you, but we're not going to compromise our message.
Wow.
You know, so I'm telling her this up front, and she's like, okay, well, fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then she calls me back about 2 weeks later and says, we made a mistake.
Uh-huh.
We thought you all were bigger than, you know, what y'all are. See, we're going for the John, what
right.
did you say? The, who's the sissy white boy? So many of them. Plays
uh-huh.
Elton John.
I see.
That's what she said. We're going for the Elton Johns and the P. Diddy's. That's what she said. The Elton
Johns,
P. Diddy's.
Yeah.
I said, okay, well, but, I mean, we see, you know, a black organization going for a faggot white boy and one of the people who are solely responsible, you know, for the degradation of what used to be called hip-hop.
Uh-huh.
You know,
uh-huh.
I want to read this last part just to wrap up what we just read.
Okay.
And I want to get your comments on it as well.
Okay.
At the appropriate time to be designated by the president, the leader of some of these organizations are to be detained only when it is clear that they cannot prevent the emergency, working with local public officials during the first critical hours. All other leaders are to be detained at once. Compiled list of minority leaders have been readied at the National Data Computer Center. It is necessary to use the minority leaders designated by the president in much the same manner in which we use minority members who are agents with central and federal, and we cannot, until there is no alternative, reveal King Alfred in all its aspects. Minority
mm-hmm.
members of Congress will be unseated at once. This move is not without precedent in American history.
Hey.
Signed the Attorney General.
That's the Attorney General one.
Mm-hmm.
A person would have to be, white folk would have to be fools. And white folk ain't fools. White folk are very smart people. If they did not put together a plan like this based on their knowledge of the historical treatment of us.
That's right.
I mean, you hear what I just said? So that, you know, any black person, any person of African descent that, you know, accuses this of being conspiratorial is either rabbit out of their mind or that, you know, and we have a lot of them, I mean, they're a part of the plan or they think they're a part of the plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the illusion of inclusion. That's right. That's right. And, you know, that's very, very, very heavy that you said that. Based on the historical treatment of us. I did a lecture at one of the high schools, matter of fact, the high school that I went to,
mm-hmm.
and they've got this new so-called liberal cracker girl. Well,
mm-hmm.
one of the teachers, I think she's an English teacher, what she told me. And, you know, some, you know, I don't compromise my message, but I will word it differently if I'm in their institution, being, you
mm-hmm.
know, a high school, public high school.
Uh-huh.
And so what I ended up telling the children was that, you know, my brothers and sisters, don't be fooled just because white folk listen to hip-hop. They don't like you. They listen to it because it's, you know, it's a form of entertainment to them.
Uh-huh.
You know, these young cats are being paid to be court jesters. You know what I'm saying? They're puppets for white folk.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that don't mean that, you know, police dig you now just because you're sagging your pants, you got cornrows, you know. So basically,
right.
I was just telling, you know, white folk don't like you.
Right.
You know, you grow up to be the king and queen who you are, and I was giving them some black history notes, you know. And so after the lecture, this little liberal cracker girl walks up to me, you know, introduces herself. Hi, I'm Penelope, and
uh-huh,
I'm the
uh-huh.
new teacher here, and I was just wondering why every time, you know, Black History Month or Black people always get up and tell the children to hate white people. I said, well, what about my lecture made you think that I was telling these children to hate white people? She said, well, just the undertone of it. I said, well, you know, on a personal level, I can't stand none of y'all. But, you know, in your all's form, I think it's more important that I be able to come back and give these type of messages. So I'm, you know, really not trying to burn that bridge, just so I can reach these children who may not be on the streets that I be on, you know.
Right.
And so it really is not that, you know, we teach black people to hate white people. It's your guilt and
uh-huh.
your fear complex that
uh-huh.
we will one day see you for the devil who you are, and that we will once again rise and take our rightful place on this planet Earth.
Right.
And her response was, my father is a part of the Aryan Brotherhood.
Uh-huh.
I grew up knowing that what you just said is true. I just wanted to see if you knew that.
Well, I don't know what kind of game she was playing, but you, that's all white folk here. Anytime we see, they put this thing in our children to make our children believe. Anytime our children began to hear the truth about our history, and we know that there's no separation between the past, the present, and the future, that necessarily means that we have to talk about the oppression, the slavery, the suffering, the genocide that was heaped upon us as a people. Certainly we had a history prior to us being brought here, but for white people, they want to convince, and our children believe, that we're being anti-white. It doesn't have anything to do with being anti-white, is what I heard you trying to make her hear, and what we have to continue to make our young brothers and sisters hear, because they have fooled them with that same garbage, and it makes them not want to know. I mean, they're being tricked, you know, they're being ahistorified. You can't change white folk mind, brother.
Not at
you
all.
Know that, and I know that.
Right.
They ain't gonna change.
The devil can't find salvation.
You got well, how you got it? You got 400 years. You got, you know, you could do the 5,000 year one. You could do the 50 year one. You could do the 100 year one. However you want to look at it, you got historical times and landmarks that demonstrate that the more things change, the more things stay the same. We have to go ahead and continue to move forward in creating our own social, political, and economic system. That's why, you know, I don't get, you know, but so excited over the Cynthia McKinney, you know, Green Party, you know, kind of thing, because it still goes back to a black independent, you know, political party for me, wherever and however it happens, with a black political agenda. I mean, and we do that on the community and a grassroots level, and I don't think that we'll ever see it as the system of America, this capitalist system, is set up and ran and controlled by the business of white supremacy on a national level. Obama's did everything that he possibly can to not let the term black come out of his mouth until the Clintons pushed him, you know, to do that. So I don't know why people can't look at a Colin Powell or a Condoleezza Rice or a Clarence Thomas and say, so what? There is another person with a black face in a high position that is going to have to kill people of color in order to be who he is. That's
another
your hero?
That's right. Ooh, we have a caller on the line, brother. We don't have
okay.
a minute left. Let me take this caller real quick.
So how do I do? Would I just hold on? Or?
Oh, yes, sir. No, you're going to be on the line with us. Caller, are
okay.
you there? Hello? Caller, are you there? Okay, well, I guess they may not want to speak. There's maybe someone who just called in to hear it. Very quickly, we only have a short time left. First of all, I want to thank you 5 million times for joining us on this evening for this very, very important discussion.
Now,
you have a whole lot of things on the line, as far as history and education. Will you let the people know how to find your information?
Well, the easiest way is if they enter RBG Street Scholar, and that's with no spaces, into a Google search engine or a Yahoo search engine, then the various sites will come up on the front page of the search. And it's called RBG Street Scholars because I use the name online RBG Street Scholar, but any and everybody that is coming and studying with the Communiversity is a street scholar in residence. When I use the term street scholar, I'm saying that that's somebody that is pursuing information and knowledge scholastically outside of the halls of academia with the restrictions and the escrowing of that which they really do believe and can do to the board of directors of that particular institution.
Right.
So that I ain't the sole RBG street scholar is what I'm saying. But that is the way that you would find the various websites. And it's about 20 different websites, and each one of them are independent learning environments. So different people have different learning styles and are at different academic levels, and so that a person by searching RBG Street Scholar would have the opportunity to look at the various different sites and make a determination of which one at any given time they would like to study out of. But if they put in RBG e-zine, then that one, e-zine as in an electronic magazine, then that one has the directions of how to actually systematically study out of the community.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And there's some very, very good information on there. I go on there at least twice a week just to listen to the Black August broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love it. And once again, we want to thank you for joining us on Real Talk with Brothers Keeper, and we hope that the information we spoke of tonight is helpful to some of the brothers and sisters. And, you know, don't take our word for it. Look it up for yourself. You know, look it up, and you use your own critical thinking process, your own independence of thought, and you come up with what works for you. But, I mean, you know, I'm bald-headed. I may not like you saying it, but I can't argue with it because it's true.
That's
America
right.
wants to kill black folk. You know, it may sound harsh or whatever it is, but I mean, what's true is true. Look at the past history. Look at what they have done. Look at what they're doing and what they're planning on doing. You know, not only black folk, they say their manifested destiny is to rule from sea to shining sea. And that's what they do. You know, so once again, we want to thank you all for tuning in to Real Talk with Brothers Keeper by way of MasterGrio.com every Tuesday at 8 o'clock. And RBG Street Scholar, we really want to thank you once again. Again, I mean, this is just a beautiful conversation, and we hope that, you know, the word gets out to the people and they begin to learn and study for themselves.
Thank you for the opportunity, brother. It's a blessing, and I respect you highly.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. And if you ever need us, just holler black at us.
Absolutely.
And we'll be at the same black channel, same black station on next week, brothers and sisters. And we're going to end it out with yours truly, your Huru, Black Power.
My brother.